Welcome back to the program, Evan Bray. Great to have you. There you go. You hear that music. I mean, it's you know where you were when you watched that movie and heard that music for the first time. And that's what we're talking about here in this next segment. Always happy to have our pop culture critic. Likes to be called the movie geek. I like that too. Craig Sullivan. I say you like to be called that. Do you like to be called that?
It doesn't bother me.
Craig raises an eyebrow. Do I really? Craig Sullivan joining me in studio. Craig, thanks so much for being here.
You
love the movies. You're all into it. When you hear that music, what do you think of? What does it take you?
Oh, well, I mean, I think, you know, what I think of is when I think of that movie, even, I think of those like the tree-lined suburban streets
of
like the 70s almost in Haddonfield in the town. And I live in Saskatoon in a part of town that looks very similar to that at this. So at this time of year, it's like with the leaves falling and everything, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But you're walking down the street thinking, oh, what a beautiful fall day. And even if I'm not thinking about Halloween, I'm still kind of thinking about maybe I should look behind each corner to see if Michael Myers is
there. You've got that music. You know, this morning I was talking with both the CJME and CKOM morning shows about, you know, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen, or maybe the first movie you remember being scared. Mine is the same. It was in about 1982, 83. I was a young 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I went to a friend's birthday party, and his mom took the four of us that were at the birthday party to The Thing.
Woo!
In Indian Head. And I remember, like, I mean, I wasn't a guy that, I think it was a sleepover, and I'm not, you know, I was a kid that was like, no problem, my sleepovers, no, I don't know. That night, I think I was like, spent more of the night awake than I was. That was a scary movie.
It's a terrifying movie. And it was quite like panned at the time. I think people just didn't get it. And it came out around the same time as E.T. and stuff. So, since then, it's kind of taken on this juggernaut like, you know, everybody loves this movie now in those horror circles. But some of the effects in it are still stand up amazingly. And then it has this whole like paranoia thing to it, because in the movie, you never know who the, who's infected with this alien and everything. So it stands up. It's actually probably my favorite horror movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I said this also this morning. I mean, that's one of those movies that I watched then and have never watched since. So I'm curious. I just hear what you say. Maybe it would still scare me today.
I bet it would. Here's the question. I'm pretty sure you've told me before, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not like a big horror guy.
No.
So did that movie just scar you for life?
I think it did, Craig. I think it did. I think that was it. I mean, I also remember going to Close Encounters of the Third Kind with a friend. And I was even younger. That would have been, I was seven probably when we went to that. I liked it. I thought it was good. But something about this movie, The Thing, did it for me. And to this day, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, it's John Carpenter. He's one of the masters. And, you know, Kurt Russell, there's a great cast in that movie, too. So it's great.
Well, you mentioned off air, Wilford Brimley was in that
Wilford
movie.
Brimley's
I kind
in
of
it.
Forgot that. But yeah, that's right.
It is. And he, as I said, he looks, I think he's 48, I want to say, when they shot that movie. He looks 67.
That's the sobering thing when you think I'm older than Wilford Brimley was in that movie.
I'm older than Wilford Brimley was, and I look 20 years younger.
Chatting today with Craig Sullivan, who is a pop culture critic for us here at Rolco Radio. So, you know, I think, and I said this a couple of times this morning, that there will be kind of this almost agenda to today where you've got the kids out trick-or-treating, whether you're going with them or you're handing out treats at your house. That ball game is going to be on for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a lot of people who cap the night off, throw jammies on, whatever it is, and maybe in the spirit of Halloween, throw a horror movie. I was going to say throw a movie in. We don't throw a movie in as much as you go to the streaming channel. But at the end of the day, I know through the years have done kind of a horror movie a day through the month of October. Did you do that this year?
I did this year. I think the Blue Jays screwed it up a little bit, and I was sort of in and out of town a little bit. So I think I calculate, because you asked me this question the other day, I think there's 31 days in October, and I've done 28 so far.
Well,
so I didn't
quite
get one every day, but normally I do 31 one a day.
So when you do this, Craig, you try and do, like, I know there's lots out there, and some of them are bad, some of them are great, some of them are classics. Do you redo them every year? Do you try and get some new ones in there?
I definitely try and get like as many new ones as I can, but for sure there's classics every year. And even on Halloween night, that's usually the, like, okay, what's the big movie we're going to do this year? And it might be something I've never seen before. It might be The Shining or something that I've seen a million times.
So. Yeah.
It just depends. Some of it depends on, like, Sunday night, I like to go to bed early because I got to work early in the morning. So, sure. Like, what movie is an hour and a half or less that fits into this category?
Are they making a comeback? Horror movies, like, and I don't even know if comeback's the right word, but it feels like they're in vogue again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe they've never fully gone away, really, but I think they've definitely seen an even bigger resurgence in the last few years. And, you know, there's a variety of reasons for that. They have generally pretty low budgets, but make higher returns. There's always like a crowd of at least teenagers that like want to go see these movies. Sure. The streaming effect, as you mentioned, you know, movies like Smile or Barbarian, you know, they might do okay theatrical, but when they get to, you know, Netflix or wherever, those movies become massive hits, even if they weren't in the theater. You know, that idea of cultural anxieties that they often speak to. I mean, you know, AI, pandemics, economic uncertainty. Right. Right now, that's it. In the 50s, it was like the Cold War, the Russian scare, you know what I mean? And so, you know, we identify on a deeper level with these things than we might with just some other kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Franchise nostalgia is obviously a big thing. You know, horror can also be like a safe transgression where you know, in a world that it does cause so many anxieties, it gives us a socially acceptable way to sort of explore some of these taboo ideas like violence and death and things that we don't even necessarily talk about all the time in polite conversation. A lot of horror movies, people think of them as sort of this junk food, but they often, most of them, just like good science fiction, have a deeper metaphor in there for some reason. It's a metaphor for grief or something like that, right? So, yeah, I think for sure they're huge right now.
You struck something with me, Craig, as you were saying how they really, I don't know, prey on, but they really focus on some of those heightened awareness things, AI, pandemics. There have been some movies in the past that have proved to be prophetic almost in terms of, you know, what they saw as a futuristic horror challenge and maybe eerily come close to being accurate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this isn't necessarily a horror movie. It's more of a science fiction movie, but I think of something like Children of Men, which it had it with it when it came out. There's a scene where it's the last kid on Earth, like the last person that was born. Kids aren't being born anymore. That's the problem on Earth.
Right.
And he's 18 and he gets exploded in this sort of bombing or whatever. And when everybody goes into work that day, they're watching it on screens and stuff. And that movie came out in 2006. And so YouTube wasn't really a thing at that point. Now, when you watch that movie, it seems like just Monday morning at the office and something happened on the weekend, you know? So for sure, those things can definitely be prophetic, as you say.
Craig Silliphant is my guest, the pop culture critic. Tell me, what would you say if someone said to you, what are the top five movies you would recommend? They want to watch a movie tonight. It's got to be a scary movie. What would it be for you?
Well, I mean, I think you captured it with The Thing pretty well. I mean, if it's like horror classics that you may not have seen before, you know, you've got, you know, The Thing, The Exorcist, The Shining, stuff like that. There's some great stuff from this year, a movie called Weapons, which is the same guy that directed Barbarian. I don't want to say too much about it because oftentimes the spoilers can ruin it, but it's basically about a bunch of kids left their house in the middle of the night and disappeared, like a whole class of children. And so all that's left is one child and the teacher. And so all these sort of recriminations start. And again, we talk about like, you know, being a metaphor for things and things that happen in society being like that. There was a one called Dangerous Animals that was kind of fun. It's sort of like a shark serial killer movie, if you will. Another one that I was actually talking about this morning with your producer, Brett, Companion. Both of us really like this movie. I don't say anything about it because I don't want to give anything away. Go straight into that one. And another one that's really interesting that came out this year, it's not necessarily the greatest film, but it's called Good Boy. And it's from the point of view of a dog who realizes there's some supernatural elements happening around his owner and he loves his owner and he's trying to protect his owner from this stuff. And the movie itself is okay. It's good. It's not great, but it was all filmed. The dog is the dog of the director and they shot it in his house. And you will believe that this dog is really experiencing these things. He looks scared at the scared points. And really, it was made on such a low budget. Again, I talked about that low budget. Where they're literally sitting off camera going like, psst, 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 to get them to look, and then just filming that, you know, it could take all day to get one shot,
glance,
you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's definitely worth checking out for just the ingenuity of it, really.
Well, I'll have to grab one of those off the list, because the last time I had you on the program, and I mean the last time talking about horror movies and Halloween, you sent me away and I dug up that old, what was the movie, Nosferatu? Nosferatu.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, I watched it. I'm glad I did watch it, but it's one of the very first, right, in terms of horror.
Yeah,
movies.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's way back when they were, I think that one's still Nosferatu is a silent film.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's
but
no,
it's, you know, I mean, I dug it up and it was good. It was good. I mean, good to watch it and good. It's all about kind of the history. You know, before I let you go, I just actually had a guest on the program yesterday. We were talking about AI predominantly is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
As someone who is as ingrained as you are in entertainment and movies and pop culture, are you worried? Are you worried about where AI is taking us, or are you excited about what this exploration might look like, predominantly in the movie world?
Right. I think that's a good question. And I think, like, mostly worried, but also a little bit optimistic, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, there's already AI tools in things that we use, like Photoshop or things like that. So AI already is a part of something. I think, to me, it starts to get starts to cross lines that I don't like when you start to talk about, like, AI being the creative force behind something. It really only knows what you fed into it before. You're not getting unique, original storytelling. You're just getting cliches. And same with acting. You know, there's been many cases in the last few years, even of somebody stealing, you know, someone like Scarlett Johansson's voice or even, you know, mannerisms or face to use for these things. And, you know, if the artist is fine with that, great. But it also means, you know, eventually you're not going to need actors to do some of these things, which takes the human element right out of it. It's human storytelling. You know, AI has never had a family member die, right? Like it doesn't understand that deeper stuff. So could be some cool tools there, but there's definitely a keep your eyes open factor.
I've got a text from Dave on the text line who basically says, I like to watch horror movies, especially if I can find the ones that are so bad that it's almost humorous.
Yes.
Do you have one that comes to mind when you're thinking about, like, literally you sat down to watch a horror movie and it was laughable?
Oh, like, I watch a lot of these. It's a thing. The so bad it's good, like in horror and outside of horror. I'll say, you know, talking about streaming, go to Tubi. It's free. And they have, like, hundreds of movies on there, both classic and a lot of these, like, so bad it's good movies. I watch a lot of the slasher movies from the 80s that are like not like if you're talking Friday the 13th, you're talking like that's some elevated horror compared to what I'm talking about. I mean, there's lots of them that were actually shot in Canada they did like, you know, they cheaper budgets and things like that. You know, Troll 2 is a good example. Sleepaway Camp is a great one where they're just, the acting is so bad and the, you know, it's just so terrible. And, but it's really fun to watch as a cinephile because you can see the seams and you can like, you know, even just sitting down and having a couple of wobbly pops and watching a movie, they actually do a thing, called drunken cinema in some theaters where like they serve beer and you have to shout out certain things, much like the Rocky Horror Picture Show screenings or something like that. So I would say though, probably like Sleepaway Camp is one of the funnest ones of those, so bad it's good.
All right. Well, we'll have to end our conversation there, Craig. I always appreciate you popping by the studio. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thank you.
Craig Silliphant, our pop culture critic, and for Halloween night, lots of great movies out there if you want to cap your night off in front of the TV. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.